Welcome to the Vitality Radio Podcast, your source for the truth about health, wellness, and real alternatives to drugs, surgeries, and the status quo of healthcare. Here, you'll find information that empowers you to take control of your health. But it's not just about health and wellness. It's about the politics of healthcare and protecting your health freedom. Now, here's your host, Jared St. Clair.
Hello and welcome to Vitality Radio, the podcast where we help you master natural supplements, enhance your emotional vitality, and thrive without pharma drugs. I'm your host. My name is Jared St. Clair, and today's episode is going to be a doozy. We're talking about the underlying issues that you may or may not be familiar with. I'm sure you're familiar with some of them, but maybe not all of them, that are leading to the very poor health of our children here in America, and of course, as for us as adults as well. There is an amazing woman that represents an amazing organization. Her name is Zen Honeycutt, and she runs Moms Across America. They do all types of incredible things to expose what I would call food injustice, along with other things, where what we're doing is basically poisoning our children with these chemicals that our food is just absolutely bogged down with in this country. They do things like check into school lunch programs to see how toxic those lunches may actually be. They look at fast food to see if it's not just junk food, but actually even worse, and a variety of other things like that. Zen is an incredible human being doing what I consider to be incredibly valuable work, and I think you're going to absolutely love and possibly hate this episode because there's a lot stacked up against us with our health, but if we don't have an awareness of what's going on, well, we don't have an ability to avoid and or combat those issues. And so therefore, I think this is an important episode. I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed doing the interview. Let's go. It's that time of year. It's time for our annual Men's Vitality Sale at vitalitynutrition.com. This is an online-only sale for you. We've got well over 120 products that are not just for men, but are very popular among men. Of course, some of them, like the Prost-T formula, one of my very favorite men's formulas, is just for men, but there are plenty of other products like Total Body Collagen that's good for the whole family, and a variety of other things in a wide range of products here at Vitality Nutrition. Again, focused on men, but you might find out if you're a woman or shopping for your kids that there may just be some things in there for you as well. In fact, one of the few times that we put a price break on some of the Just Ingredients products, including their protein and pre-workout, is during this sale. This sale is going to run through the 23rd of May, and it's already started. It is there's a collection that we'll link to in the show description here on this episode of the podcast, but you can also go to the website and just click on the banner. That will bring you to the Men's Vitality Sale collection, and everything that's in there is already marked down. No need for a promo code. It's all discounted already. Many of the items are at the lowest discount that we ever offer for this sale. So I urge you to check it out and see what you think at vitalitynutrition.com. All right, and so without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the show Zen Honeycutt. Now, I have to tell you a quick story here. I met her just a few weeks ago at a big expo that happens every year in Anaheim, the Natural Products Expo. I mentioned it a couple of times on previous episodes. And one of the things I love about that expo is there's a whole bunch of people that are there that are concerned about health and nutrition and the alternatives to pharma that I like to talk about here on Vitality Radio. And I bumped into one of my old friends, Robert Scott Bell, who introduced me to a friend of his, who is my next guest, Zen Honeycutt. Now, Zen is someone who I knew of what she was doing, but I didn't actually know who she was. So he said, "Hey, do you know her?" And I said, "I don't think so." And my wife elbows me and says, "You don't know who this is?" And I was like, "Not by name, I'm sorry." And then she said, "Moms Across America." I said, "Okay, I've heard of that." And then as we talked later, she explained some of the things that Moms Across America, the organization that Zen founded, was doing. And I said, oh, I totally know their work. I just didn't know who this was. So then, of course, I asked her if she'd grace us with her presence and her wisdom on the fight that she is fighting on Vitality Radio. And she was gracious enough to join me. So Zen, I'd like to welcome you to Vitality Radio.
Thank you so much, Jared. And thank you to your wife for giving you the elbow and reminding you. I appreciate her so
Absolutely.
Much.
Well, she, I will say this, it's funny. She's the one that kind of keeps me up to date on all of the goings on and all of this stuff. I've got my hands so full just running the show and the business and everything else. And she's the one that says, okay, this is, you need to listen to this. You need to listen to that. You need to listen to this. So she kind of points me in the direction. And I'm so grateful to her for keeping me abreast of all this stuff. Let me tell my listeners a little bit about you. So you're the founding executive director of the nonprofit organization Moms Across America, which is a national coalition of unstoppable moms with the motto Empowered Moms, Healthy Kids. She is also an international speaker and the author of Unstoppable, Transforming Sickness and Struggle into Triumph, Empowerment, and a Celebration of Community. Moms Across America leaders created over 1,000 community events in all 50 states to raise awareness about GMOs, toxins in the food supply, and other environmental issues that pose risk to the health of our families. The organization's mission is to educate and empower mothers and others with actions and solutions to create healthy communities. Zen Honeycutt and Moms Across America initiated the first glyphosate testing in America and successfully petitioned Costco to remove Roundup from their shelves. She is also the director of a short film called Communities Rising and the co-founder of the recently launched program called the Neighborhood Food Network, whose mission is to create a parallel food system one street at a time. So as you know, as a listener to Vitality Radio, much of what I just mentioned that Zen is doing with Moms Across America is very, very important to me. I don't know how many times I've mentioned the word glyphosate on Vitality Radio over the years, but it's probably 1,000 and complained about. Zen, you wouldn't know this, but I just did a show. I do a rant about once or twice a month on this show where I complain about something that's happening at the FDA level or the CDC level or the big food or the big pharma or whatever it is. And I talked about some of the food claims that are being made, that are allowed to be made, like, you know, made with 100% whole grain, not mentioning that the whole grain has been sprayed to death with glyphosate. And some of the claims that are not able to be made that are actually legitimate health claims. And so what you're doing to, I'd say, open people's eyes, particularly mothers' eyes, to nutrition and the hidden dangers in our food supply, I think is an incredibly valuable mission. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you so much. And I'm compelled, I'm honored to do it. But I also, you know, I tell people we will not stop. We will not give up because the love for our children will never end. And that is an endless source of fuel, and we will keep going. And, you know, it sounds cliche, but children really are the future of our country. And if we don't protect this generation, we have a very dismal future ahead of us and for America and for the world. We're a superpower. And if we decline as a superpower, then it impacts the entire globe. So, you know, I see what I'm doing as just as, you know, an extension of what a mother does when she's protecting her children. And I think that's why it resonates with so many millions of mothers across the country and around the world, and why we've expanded and grown so much so quickly. It's also because I believe we bring forth not just the truth about what's going on in the food supply and health in America, but also the solutions. And we are hearing from thousands of mothers across the country and fathers that when they switch their children to organic diets, they get better. And, you know, that's not the only thing. We have to avoid toxins and lots of other things as well. But that's the primary exposure to toxins is what we consume and drink on a daily basis. And so that's why Moms Across America has focused on the food supply And that's why we also focus on moms, because moms buy 85% of the food. Women make 90% of the household purchasing choices. People in general trust moms. And when I talked to legislators and said, you know, would this really matter if we joined into 4th of July parades? Because that's how we got initiated, how we started. Would it matter if moms were joining into 4th of July parades all across the country? You know, like it's not a march on Washington. They're not in the White House. Do you know what I mean? They're just in parades across the country. Would that even matter? And because I don't want to do anything that's not efficient. And and so the legislators said, oh, yeah, legislators are more scared of moms than they are any other grassroots group out there. So I was like, OK, let's rally the moms. Right. Let's make this happen. Yeah. And so that, you know, we launched the website for that. And within 3 months had a reach on Facebook of over 300,000 a week. And had 179 groups joining into 4th of July parades with banners that say Moms Across America March to label GMOs. And it took off from there. We had, you know, as we mentioned, you know, over 1,000 events within the next 5 years in all 50 states. So our moms are on a mission to protect our children through the food supply and by reducing exposure to all kinds of toxins. And we're going to continue doing that. So thank you for having me on to share about it.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting because everything you said about moms resonates with me as a father of four kids. I recognize that my position is a little bit different because I'm the one that came into parenthood with the perspective of we need to avoid all of these toxins because of the way I was raised by my parents. I was actually teaching my wife, you know, hey, we need to feed our kids like this and make changes that weren't always comfortable to make. And frankly, as a younger man, when I was a father, I was also far less, well, I'm still a father, but you know what I mean? When I had young children, I was less vigilant than I wish I was back then. And frankly, less educated. I've learned a lot, especially about glyphosate and things like that over the last, you know, 10, 15 years that I didn't understand back then. But you said something that I think is really, really important. And that is that when you hear from moms that have changed their diets to an organic or a mostly organic diet, that their children's health improves. Now, first off, I'm going to assume, but I'll let you answer the question, that they're seeing improvements not only in physical health, but also in mental health. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. In fact, that's the first thing most moms report. First of all, when they switch to organic, their children start to sleep better. And you know what happened when a child starts to sleep better? Their behavior improves. Their mental health improves. Their irritability improves and their ability to learn improves. And therefore their confidence is built and they're able to interact with their friends and family members in a way that's more conducive to, you know, healthy relationships. And, you know, that's the crux of everything, right? If we have a healthy relationship in our life with our children or loved ones or friends, then we feel like we can take on anything and do anything. If we don't have that, we're depressed. We don't perform well at work. We don't, you know, do well in the interactions of our daily life. So that is the gut is really the root of everything in this situation. And it's the root of mental health and physical health issues. And a lot of people overlook the mental health issue. And Moms Across America, we've been focusing primarily on cancer and endocrine disruption and birth defects and reproductive issues over the past 12 years. And we really started to more focus in on the mental health issue because it's something that is not as visible but is extremely prevalent. I mean, the stats from 10 years ago were 1 out of 5 Americans have mental health issues and 1 out of 6 children have learning disorders. But we think it's much higher than that now because those stats are old. And in fact, when we talked to two preschool teachers recently, one of them said that she has 13 children in her preschool and 12 of them are on the autism spectrum. And I double checked this with another preschool teacher just recently. And she's like, yeah, that sounds about right in my class too. So it's not just, and that's just a couple of teachers that I talked to, you know, this is happening right across the country and the mental health issue, not just autism, but depression and suicide and, you know, bipolar and manic and, you know, adjustment disorders, all those types of things are really rampant. They are not things that you heard about very often when you and I were children. It was very, very rare. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that the reason I was so happy that one of the first things out of your mouth was the word organic. and how organic plays a role in health, physical health, mental health, is because I do tend to think, you know, my listenership here on this show is largely moms. I don't know what the percentage is, but if I had to guess, it's 75% moms on this, listening to this show on a regular basis. And one of the most challenging adjustments to make once you kind of wake up to the realities of the toxicity that we have in our world and the places where we get toxins from is the shift to organic, because it's more expensive, it's less convenient, and it doesn't always seem like the most important aspect of it, I think. People tend to be more willing to supplement, more willing to maybe change out their cleaners, their household cleaners, you know, things like that. All of which is really, really valuable. But when you look at what we take in, the vast majority of the things that go into our mouth are food, right? And the food that comes with those chemicals, glyphosate being the one that we all know about, but it's not the only one. We have to be so cognizant, I think, of how big of a deal that is. But it is, it seems to be an area of a lot of resistance for parents to try and make that switch to organic for the reasons I stated. Mm-hmm. What do you see when you're talking to moms about this and their willingness to make that shift?
Well, it comes down to when have they crossed that line for enough is enough? You know, when have they found that moment of where, you know, it's just no longer acceptable anymore? Or when do they have that realization that, wait a second, this might not just be a phase? You know, I had that moment with my middle son who had autism symptoms when he was 8, and he was looking me in the eye and he was trying to hit me. You know, I was holding him by the shoulder, but he was trying to hit me. And he didn't want to be doing, I could tell he hated himself for that. He did not want to be doing that. He was angry. He was upset. He was frustrated. And, you know, I knew that this was when his dad said, well, this is probably just a phase for a little bit. And I said, you know, I don't think so. I think we got to get something checked out here. And I took him to his doctor, who happened to be an autism doctor, because we were at the time still doing vaccines and we were doing the spaced out vaccines, you know, and so I think that's maybe why my sons weren't quite as affected, but maybe not, you know? I took him to him and he tested him for bacteria, pathogenic bacteria in his urine, and it was rampant. He had very high levels of different pathogenic bacteria. He had gut dysbiosis. He had 21 different food intolerances. He had holes in his small intestines. And the doctor said that essentially every kid in America has this now. He said gut dysbiosis, holes in their small intestines, you know, tons of food allergies. Your kids are just lucky to happen to have a mom who found this out. And, you know, here's some things you can do. He, you know, offered NAET, which did seem to help a little bit with his egg allergy. And that's a, you know, like a muscle testing type thing and avoidance of the ingredient for a while. But then I talked to him about glyphosate because I had just learned about glyphosate, that glyphosate is, you know, the most widely used herbicide in the world. And it's not just sprayed on GMO crops like corn and soy and sugar beets and canola as a weed killer, right? And those crops are genetically engineered to be able to withstand it. It's also sprayed as a drying agent just before harvest on very prevalent grains in our food supply, such as wheat and peas and beans and legumes and barley and oats and corn and soy. You know, it's sprayed as a drying agent just before harvest. And therefore, if you're not eating organic, you are likely consuming glyphosate in every meal that you consume because these ingredients are so prevalent in our food supply. And what I realized was that my middle son hadn't presented with a gluten allergy. My other two sons had, so they were totally avoiding gluten. And the middle son was still eating gluten at, you know, birthday parties or Nana's house or, you know, not very often at our house because we just didn't have it in the house. But when he went somewhere else, he would eat the burger bun or the tortilla, you know, wrap or the cookies at a friend's house. And I finally got him tested. We initiated the first glyphosate testing in America in 2013 and released the results in 2014. And my son had, that particular son had the levels of glyphosate of a farmer. And, you know, he was not farming with glyphosate. He was consuming grains that were sprayed with glyphosate. So when, and that was the same time as the sudden onset of autism symptoms. So when we switched his diet out to 100% organic and we addressed the gut issues, we gave him the probiotics and, you know, we did have to do an antibiotic for a little bit, but then we, you know, really put in the sauerkraut and kombucha and apple cider vinegar and MSM by MRM and green drinks and, you know, all of that stuff. So within 6 weeks, his glyphosate levels were no longer detectable and his autism symptoms were gone and had never come back. Unless he eats really crappy food, you know, unless he...
Did you say 6 weeks?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Through the holidays.
I love...
Yeah, and he had to have no sugar. He had to have no sugar as well during Christmas time because the sugar feeds the bad bacteria. So I don't remember what your original question was now. I've gotten into telling the story, but I just want people to know that you can make a change in a short period of time. And I think it was originally about glyphosate is what we started talking about, but it glyphosate is the most widely used herbicide in the world, and it's very prevalent in our food supply, and it destroys the beneficial gut bacteria and allows for the pathogenic gut bacteria to proliferate. And therefore, when I was talking to my doctor, what we realized was that the pathogenic gut bacteria in the gut proliferates, right, in the gut. And then on the outer walls of the pathogenic gut bacteria is something called lipopolysaccharides. And their job is to signal the vagus nerve that's in the gut and tell the brain to go and attack because there's bad guys in the gut, attack. And when they attack, the microglia cells in the brain create an excitotoxin, which excites the brain neurons and eventually they die. You know, it's like exhausts them. So that's what's happening, which is asserted by like Dr. Matt Buckley and other doctors I've spoken to, is that brain neuron dying means a disconnect. And then kids can no longer make eye contact, right? They get obsessive thinking that, you know, those bridges for connection are gone. So they no longer have the mental capacity that they used to have. Hence the mental health issues. I think that's where we originally came from with this was the mental health issues and behavioral issues that our kids are experiencing. So when you restore the gut environment, you restore that gut microbiome and you balance out the gut bacteria, which means reducing sugar, reducing glyphosate exposure, putting in whole foods, hybrid fiber, you know, all organic foods, then you actually give the body a chance to heal. And those mental health issues and those physical health issues begin to resolve.
Yeah, well, we have to really, I think, frame glyphosate in the same way that we frame antibiotics. I mean, it is essentially a human antibiotic. There are many people listening to this show right now, Zen, that are doing everything that they can to avoid antibiotics because they know the harms that can come from them. They're using alternatives when they get sick. They're not rushing off to the doctor for every, you know, sniffle and things like that. And they're making that shift because they know antibiotics are extremely harmful to the gut microbiome. I think what I hope people take from this part of our discussion is that glyphosate is that also. It's not different. It is a human antibiotic. It does destroy the bacteria. And the problem with it is it's chronic, right?
Yes.
You take an antibiotic for 10 days or 7 days or whatever it is. You take glyphosate every single day if you're not eating organic food and in pretty copious amounts. When I first learned that they were using glyphosate as a desiccant, as a drying agent, as you said, on oats, I was blown away. I had no idea because I thought it was what most people think. We're just using it as an herbicide, and a lot of that's going to run off, you know, in the rain and all, and the irrigation and things like that. But now they're spraying it on the plant right before harvest, on the crop right before harvest, and we are getting mass quantities of this stuff. And it is, we have to recognize how big of a deal that is for our health and certainly for the health of our children.
Awesome. Yeah, that is exactly the moment that I had too, was like, wait a second, they're not just spraying this on GMOs, which are genetically engineered to withstand glyphosate. They are also spraying it as a drying agent on these crops and therefore we're consuming it. And what really made me upset was when I realized it doesn't wash, dry, or cook off. It soaks into the plant. And that's how it's getting into wine, right? It's absorbed up through the vines. It's not sprayed on the grapevines, otherwise it would kill it. It's sprayed around the grapevines and then the grapevines uptake the glyphosate into the grapes and that's how it's getting into the wine. But the oats and the barley, it's sprayed directly on the oats and the barley as a drying agent and that's how it's getting into beer. So there's a couple different mechanisms going on with glyphosate. And of course, the GMOs, it's sprayed during, you know, the time that it's growing directly on the crops and being absorbed in, and there's residues on top as well.
So the next question I'd like to ask you is about the glyphosate testing. You say you were the first ones to get that started, essentially. Go explain that just a little bit. And if people want to get tested, how do they go about doing that?
Sure. Well, when I first started this whole movement with Moms Across America, it really was just to raise awareness first about GMOs. And then as I learned more about glyphosate, I said, wait a second, holy cow, we have to eat organic if we want to avoid GMOs and glyphosate. We can't just eat non-GMO Project Verified, because non-GMO Project Verified has nothing to do with glyphosate, right? It's just for GMOs. And right. Yeah, and organic is going to cover, you know, no GMOs and no glyphosate. It's not allowed to be used anyway. It could be contaminated, of course. Everything could be contaminated the way that farming is going now. But the tests have shown very low levels. But actually, at that time when I realized that, there was no testing done. Nobody was testing for glyphosate. And when I approached a couple of different labs about it, they said, you know, no, we don't test for it. It's considered safe. And I said, well, lead and mercury were considered safe at 1.2, you know, and, you know, we need to test for it. And they're like, well, we don't have the methodology. So I bugged a farmer friend of mine, and he actually knew somebody who used to work at Monsanto and then started his own lab and actually had worked on the methodology for glyphosate testing with Monsanto. So they knew how to actually detect glyphosate in, you know, many different things. And it was a screening method because glyphosate is very tricky. It goes into the cells and into, you know, can like hide out, and it can chelate other minerals and heavy metals and things like that. So it's, you have to test for it by itself. You can't just throw in the test with, you know, 200 other pesticides like you can do with other pesticides. And so the methodology of coming up with it and, you know, that all of that was very tricky. So anyway, we finally found that this man from this lab contacted us and said, well, I can test for glyphosate. And I said, do you want to remain anonymous, you know, with this? Cause we're going up against Monsanto. And he said, nope, I don't care. I can, you know, let people know. So he was brave and he did. And we tested for glyphosate in tap water, in children's urine or our urine. Most of us sent in our children's urine, and found glyphosate in between 70-90% of those samples, and some at levels 3,000, you know, thousands of times higher than has been shown to cause liver and kidney damage and sex hormone changes. And the same with breast milk. We found glyphosate in breast milk 3,000 times higher than has been shown to cause sex hormone changes and liver and kidney damage. And so we, of course, were very concerned, and we basically plagued the EPA with phone calls and emails. And within 3 days, 10,000 moms called the EPA, and according to them, and actually got a meeting with the EPA. So we've met with the EPA, I don't remember if it's three or four times now, but multiple times. We've met with the USDA, the FDA. We have contacted the CDC and the FDA about finding glyphosate actually in vaccines as well, because we believe this is because the animals that eat the grains that are sprayed with glyphosate, right, their parts are in vaccines, bovine serum, chicken serum, and actually a gelatin made from pig tendons is in vaccines as a stabilizing agent for live viruses. So we found glyphosate in all five of the childhood vaccines that we tested, and one of them, the highest levels was in the MMR vaccine, which is the one that Andy Wakefield was vilified for. Lost his career essentially for connecting vaccines, the MMR vaccine specifically, to gut dysbiosis, which is exactly what I just said is caused by glyphosate. Even Monsanto's own toxicologist, Donna Farmer, has said that, oh, we don't test for the full formulation of glyphosate, because, you know, there's many different things in glyphosate: herbicide, Roundup, Ranger Pro. Right. There's many different ingredients, and glyphosate is just the main one that they test for in order to get clearance through the EPA. And she said, no, we don't test the full formulation of, you know, glyphosate herbicides on rats because they have such delicate stomach linings. It tears up the stomach linings and they die. And so you can't perform tests on dead animals, you know? So they only test for glyphosate by itself on the rats. And we all know that when this herbicide is sprayed on the crops, it's not just glyphosate by itself. It is the whole full formulation. That is what's sprayed on the crops. And also glyphosate by itself is long-term harmful. It's not as immediately toxic as some of the other ingredients like arsenic and lead and cadmium, you know, that have been found, and POEA and all of these other ingredients that are in Roundup and Ranger Pro. But it is long-term harmful. It does cause cancer long-term, you know, and things like that. So there's many different effects of the glyphosate exposure. And according to, again, Monsanto's own toxicologist, she did say that glyphosate, the full formulation, puts holes in the stomachs of the rats. I mean, doesn't that sound familiar, what we just talked about? And she also said that the only way that glyphosate by itself was shown to be harmful was when it was injected. And we all know it's not injected. No, guess what? We know it is injected now. It's injected through childhood vaccines. And if we look at the rise in autism and the harm that happened to children, it really spiked in the late 90s. And that's when glyphosate was allowed to be sprayed on crops and animals began eating it in copious amounts, residues anywhere from 400 to 1,000 parts per million, very high levels, actually even higher than that in some cases. And so the animals are eating this glyphosate on a daily basis, and their animal parts are going into vaccines and, of course, into our food and our oils. You know, the crops are made into oils and all of these things that are contaminated with glyphosate and we are consuming. And that's when you saw the rise in health issues in America, was since the late 1990s. And in fact, since GMOs were introduced into our food supply, Robin O'Brien states that for the increase in ER visits for allergies to food. Mm-hmm. So in other words, children almost dying from food increased 400% after GMOs were introduced. 400%.
And yet GMOs are completely safe.
Yeah. Oh, they're safe. Right? And so are the pesticides, right? And that's what the FDA actually allowed a loophole. If people want to know how and why this is happening, it's because the FDA declared a loophole essentially for GMOs and glyphosate and other herbicides and pesticides by classifying them as a process, not an additive, right? If GMO, which you can test for them, and you can find GMOs, you can find glyphosate, you can find pesticides. They are added to our food. However, the FDA decided, oh, no, we'll just call that a process. That's a farming process, like, like irrigation or, you know, something that, you know, heating or something like that. It's a process. And because if it was an additive like salt or sugar, you know, or soy sauce or whatever, it would have to be, you know, safety tested and it would have to be labeled and you would see it on the package. Mm-hmm. And as it is today, you cannot pick up any package and see on the label that it contains glyphosate and pesticides and blah, blah, blah. Now they might have something that says bioengineered instead of genetically modified. And that's because activists or people like you and I have made such a stink about GMOs that they don't want to put the word genetically modified on the packages. So they're using a euphemism now, which is bioengineered. And interestingly enough, they have co-opted the word bio. In Europe, that means organic. When you go to Europe and you see bio on the package, that's organic. And so they have taken bioengineered and now they're putting that on our packages in the United States and using that instead of saying genetically modified. It's all just pandering to these corporations so that their profits can get bigger. It has nothing to do with the health and safety of Americans.
Well, yeah. And if you listen to my show enough, you know that the FDA, one of the lowest levels of their concerns is the health and safety of Americans based on how they behave. So when we look at glyphosate, that's a really interesting thing. And maybe this is something that needs to become a meme across all social media. If we were to take packages and Photoshop the word glyphosate into the ingredients of all the foods that have glyphosate in them, so people could look and see, hey, this is what I'm actually eating. This is the poison that comes with my food. It's like a side order of fries with your burger. It's going to be there unless you're doing the organic approach. And I like that you mentioned, too, the organic versus non-GMO, and went into the fact that, yes, things can be contaminated, because that's another one of the things that I hear, which I think to a large degree, if people are honest with themselves, is a little bit of an excuse. Well, I've read that organic really isn't any better than other food. I've read that organic stuff has pesticides and herbicides in it too, that kind of thing. And the problem is that gets turned into a much, much bigger thing than it actually is. Because as you mentioned, and you could probably speak to this better than I can, there can be some contamination. I know there was a study on oats several years ago, and they tested 16 or 17 brands of oats or something like that. And the organic ones all had a little bit of Roundup in them, a little bit of glyphosate. But the levels were infinitely smaller than the levels of the, you know, conventionally farmed, right?
Absolutely.
So when people have that complaint or excuse or concern, what do you say about, you know, organic not being perfect?
Well, we refer back to the studies like you just mentioned. The science shows that out of thousands of samples of food tested, for instance, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency tested 7,800 samples. And the levels of glyphosate in organic were, as you mentioned, infinitely lower. They were, you know, for instance, in, let's just say in wine, this was not the Canadian Food Inspection Agency. This was our testing, and also Washington PERG, like a student group, tested a bunch of wines, and another group tested wines as well. So, you know, multiple testing, which is important, you know, from different labs and different types of wine, but conventional and organic. And for instance, one of the organic brands of wine had like 0.3 parts per billion of glyphosate, and the conventional had 34 parts per billion of glyphosate. Yeah. So the levels of glyphosate were significantly lower, if they were positive at all.
0.3 in the organic versus
34. 34.
Not 0.34, 34.
34.
So, I mean, it literally is a trace amount if it is going to be found in organic. And that's an interesting question, too. And I'm going to hit you with this. I don't know if anybody's asked you this before, but I do, for some reason, my history on this earth and my learned experience is that I shouldn't probably trust my government agencies all that much. And yet, USDA Organic, they're the ones that certify this thing for the most part, right? It is a United States government entity. Why do you feel that it is set up in such a way that it actually does provide a level of, I guess, transparency, integrity, whatever it is, when something is marked by USDA as organic?
Well, I will have to say it has nothing to do with the government, really. It has everything to do with the farmers who are committed to organic. And the organic farmers that I know and have communicated with, I've been at Natural Products Expo West, I've been at dozens and dozens of farming conventions. The farmers, for the most part, that are committed to farming organically, they do even better than what the organic standards are. And many of them are, you know, they haven't used or Roundup for 40 years, or they have never used it. You know, they are going above and beyond. And it's the government has certain regulations, which, yes, have they tweaked them a little bit? Not maybe a little bit, you know, quite a bit for the big players to come in. You know, there are some big players now in dairy and in chicken, you know, poultry raising and in eggs, and they want in on the profits that organic products can bring. So they have has the National Organic Standards Board tweaked the standards a bit to allow for, you know, for instance, confined animal feeding operation manure can be allowed on organic farming. And that's a major problem for, we think, the introduction of heavy metals into our food supply, specifically organic. So we are trying to encourage some testing to be done to find out the source of heavy metals, which is what we found. And we'll get into it, of course, the food testing that we've done recently, very concerning levels of heavy metals in organic. Not all of them, not all of the time, but in some cases, some high levels of heavy metals, especially in potatoes and sweet potatoes, you know, root vegetables that are absorbing the heavy metals. Mm-hmm. So we think that the National Organic Standards Boards can do a better job. Is the organic USDA label perfect? No, it's not. But it's really, besides biodynamic and, you know, potentially real organic project, they're not testing for heavy metals either, but some of those standards could be better than regular organic. CCOF is an organic certifier as well. Regenerative organic certification these types of labeling, it's specifically biodynamic, besides growing it yourself, these types of labels are going to be the best you can get. Non-GMO project verified by itself is okay if you just want to avoid GMOs, but it's not okay if you want to avoid glyphosate. It's simply not acceptable by itself. So we are continuing to raise awareness about organic and, biodynamic and regenerative organic and the combination of those with non-GMO project verified, if you're going to be buying processed food, is the best. Now, best thing is to grow your own food or buy food from your local farmer's market as fresh as possible, because that's when you're going to get the highest amount of nutrients and enzymes and things in, components in the food that can actually fight cancer. Like, there are plums off a tree, according to doctors in Japan, you consume them within the first 24 hours, you're fighting cancer with the components in that plum. If you wait 2 weeks, you're not. they're no longer there. So eating fresh food that's been freshly picked and harvested is the best, and whole foods.
Yeah. Let food be thy medicine. It's an interesting thing because you bring up so many good points that I'm so happy you're on the show, because these are things that I've talked about in bits and pieces for years, but I think this show being concentrated like it is with this information is going to be super helpful for people. So let's talk about the local thing just really quickly. I want to insert something there. When we look at how we spend our money as consumers on whatever it is we're spending our money on, whether it's entertainment or food or housing or a car or whatever else, we have a policy at Vitality Nutrition. We've been around 46 years now, and I decided years ago, when a company called New Chapter, who at the time I thought was a fantastic company, got bought out by Procter & Gamble, that I would no longer support New Chapter because I didn't want my money for supplements to go to Procter & Gamble. I didn't feel like that was a good use of my money and a place that I wanted to support. Mm-hmm. And we've done that with many, many brands over the years. As brands get bought up by drug companies, one of my best-selling products was bought by Pfizer. I'm not going to give my money to Pfizer. So I had to get that out of the store. It's not fun. It's not fun to tell all my customers, hey, we don't sell that anymore.
Yeah.
That's no good. But it's a standard that I've established that I feel good about and can sleep peacefully at night knowing I'm not supporting these corporate giants that are essentially poisoning us on one hand and trying to feed us health food on the other. And so when you said, hey, the best thing you can do is grow your own or support your local farmer at the farmer's market that is doing it right, I echo that with as much oomph as I can put behind it, because we really do need to get back to more of a microeconomy when it comes to our food, where we're sourcing things locally that grow naturally locally where we live. That's a big deal.
Yes.
We're giving money to a family farm, not some mega corporation. We're supporting an actual family with our business.
Instead of 10 cents on the dollar, the farmer gets 10 cents on the dollar when you buy it from a grocery store. So when you go to a farmer's market, they're getting all the money from that you're giving them. And so it really does make, maybe you're paying a dollar more for that cabbage. You know what I mean? Maybe you're paying 50 cents more for those potatoes, but they are getting 100% more, or 90% more of the money.
90% more.
So it really does make a difference locally.
And generally speaking, the farmer's market isn't more expensive than organic at the grocery store anyway.
It could be
a
little bit.
In a lot of cases, it's cheaper. It depends on where you're at, right, and which farm. Mm-hmm. But even still, a little bit, and you're doing good with that purchase. You're not just buying food. You're doing good with that purchase. I think that's important. So kind of lock that into your consciousness, too, when you're thinking about how you're spending your money on food. Who do you want to spend it with? Who do you want to support there? Now, before I let you go, I know that there's a couple other things that we definitely want to get out here about some of the research that you're doing. You had mentioned before we went on air here that you're concerned about the food supply and mental health. And we talked about the glyphosate piece, but also there are some deficiencies that are concerning when it comes to the mental health of adults and children. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So we tested, as we mentioned, we started glyphosate testing. We tested for urine and breast milk and tap water. And then we tested wine and beer and orange juice. And other groups tested cereals and snacks and goldfish and crackers and chips, all kinds of things. Eggs were very high in glyphosate if they were not organic. And so then lots of testing has been done. And you can see that on momsacrossamerica.org or .com on our website under data. You can see our glyphosate testing information. Just thousands and thousands of samples have been tested, not just by us, but by other entities as well. But last year we tested school lunches because there's 30 million meals that are served to our children every day. And they are probably entirely, you know, all of them contain GMOs and or some form of glyphosate. And what we found was pretty much that's true. 93% of them, of the school lunch samples, 43, which is a scientifically significant number, over 40, 93% of them were positive for glyphosate. 100% of them were positive for heavy metals, some at levels 6,000 times higher than what the EPA allows in drinking water. And these are neurotoxic, carcinogenic heavy metals like lead, cadmium, arsenic, mercury, things like that. And we found veterinary drugs and hormones. We found in four samples out of the 43 samples, which is close to 10%, we found an aviary contraceptive in the school lunches called narcobazine. It's an anti-parasitic, but it also prevents birds from laying eggs. It's actually given to geese and chickens, geese and pigeons around airports and state capitals to prevent them from laying eggs. And this is in our school lunches. And we also found, I believe it was 73 or 74% positive for pesticides, up to 29 different pesticides, which synergistically, we have no idea, you know, what is happening when they're all together. And we found very low levels of minerals. So then we went on to test fast food samples because fast food, we found out in the process, fast food companies supply the food to school lunches. Isn't that gross? Don't you think America could be doing better? I think so. So we tested fast foods. We tested the top 20 brands and we added one in and out because a lot of people thought, oh, that'll be healthier and safer, you know, especially our board members in California. So we tested 21 of the fast food brands, 42 samples. And what we found there was 100% positive for glyphosate, 100% positive for heavy metals, some levels up to 1,000 times higher than what the EPA allows in drinking water. We found Panera Bread was the highest in glyphosate. They're supposed to be selling good, clean, wholesome food. And the highest heavy metals was cadmium in-and-out French fries. So we were very disappointed about that. And we found veterinary drugs and hormones in 40 to 60% of the top 10 samples that we tested for veterinary drugs and hormones were positive. We found the aviary contraceptive again in a Chick-fil-A sandwich. And that was in the chicken of the Chick-fil-A sandwich. We found antibiotics that caused the hind legs of dogs and horses to go paralyzed in 40 to 60% of the top 10 samples. And we found butanediol, a central nervous system depressant drug, in 47% of the fast food samples tested that causes combativeness. That is a side effect listed on the MDS sheet. And it is, of serious concern that your babysitter, your school teacher, your coach, your kid's coach, the person driving in a car next to you could have eaten, you know, a burger from Jack in the Box with very high levels of butanediol on it, be all jacked up and combative, you know, aggressive. That's not okay in our American community. So even if you're not eating fast food, these types of drugs and toxins are specifically very concerning. And then to address your question about the mineral content and the vitamin content, we found such low levels of vitamin B3 in the Chick-fil-A sandwich that you would have to eat 380 Chick-fil-A sandwiches in one day to get your recommended level of vitamin B3 in a day. I would have to eat 333 as a woman. And why vitamin B? And by the way, we found zero levels of vitamin B9 and B12. And the B complex, the B vitamins, are essential for proper formation and function of the prefrontal cortex. And you know what the prefrontal cortex does? It determines good decision-making. It determines whether or not a person is going to be violent or not, whether when they get angry, are they going to actually punch somebody or kill somebody or shoot somebody? Or are they just going to say, like, I am really angry and I'm going to go take a walk right now, right? It changes people's lives, whether or not your prefrontal cortex is working or not. And this is backed up by science, and Barbara Reed Stitz, she wrote a book. She's called Food and Behavior, A Natural Connection. She is a Lifetime Achievement Award winner. She studied the food supply for 20 years, and she studied criminals, parolees, serial killers, and high school dropouts for a year at a time in each location where she studied. So these were not short studies. She studied thousands of people in these over the 20-year period of time. And what she found was in prisons, when she switched out the food from highly processed, highly sugary, you know, junk food to whole foods, like we just talked about, you know, like farmer market type foods, within that year, the recidivism rate switched, meaning instead of 70% coming into prison, going out and coming back in within the same year, 70% of the prisoners came in, went out, and stayed out. And when they were given proper mineral supplements and nutrition, the acts of violence that are recorded at the prison dropped 50 to 70% within 1 or 2 weeks. Could you imagine if we could drop the rates of violence in America by 50 to 70% in 2 weeks if we just had proper nutrition? That's what we can do. That's what's possible. I don't believe that more gun laws that criminals are not going to follow anyway. Criminals don't follow gun laws. I believe we need to get to the source of why people are being criminals in the first place, which are mostly mental health issues that could be addressed apparently by the science through proper nutrition. So I believe we need safe, non-toxic, nutrient-dense food in the prison system, in our schools, in all across America. And this is echoed, this whole issue with violence, by the way, is echoed by another study out of the University of Strasbourg in Germany, where a German farmer saw that there was a decline in the hamster population in his cornfield. He had a monocrop cornfield, and we know what that means. Monocrop corn is, you know, usually GMO. At least if it's hybrid, you know, definitely they're spraying pesticides and chemicals. And when the farmer had the scientists come to his cornfield to observe, they noticed that the soil was like sand, was completely devoid of nutrients, right? And that the decline of the hamster population was from a very disturbing behavior. The hamsters were eating their young. The mothers were eating their young on the first day of life. They were cannibalistic. And when they studied these mother cannibalistic hamsters, which is not something I ever thought I would be saying multiple times in a week, what they found was that these mother cannibalistic hamsters were completely devoid of one vitamin. That was vitamin B3. And when they administered vitamin B3, the cannibalistic behavior completely stopped.
Wow. Yeah, that's just incredible. And so it really is, it's too, well, there's so many aspects to it, I guess. You've got the toxicity, and maybe toxicity isn't a strong enough word. I mean, really what we're doing to ourselves is we're slowly poisoning ourselves with these chemicals. And we should look at it the same way as you'd look at a low dose of arsenic over time or something else that'll eventually kill you from poisoning. That's what's happening here. And when you remove the poison, for 6 weeks, in your case, with your own child, you see a dramatic improvement in behavior and in health and probably so many other areas. But also, we have to then replenish, right? Because you didn't just remove the poison. You also did things to strengthen the integrity of the gut lining itself to essentially plug the holes that have been caused
and
by
nutrients,
glyphosate.
By the way, we did supplement with vitamin B complex.
Get the nutrients in.
I think that's essential for most kids. I mean, consult your doctor. Some kids might not need vitamin B complex, but for a lot of the population, they do. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we know that these are all required nutrients. We've got to get them somewhere. Mm-hmm. Optimally, we're getting them from our food, but as you've just demonstrated, probably not so much anymore, right? So then, you know, it's funny because my job beyond this podcast is to sell supplements. That's primarily what I do. And one of the things that I say all the time is if things were done as they could be and should be done with our food supply in America, people like me would probably not do much business. We wouldn't have the need to supplement everything, but things have been so stripped clean in our food supply of nutrients to the point where, like you mentioned with the hamsters, they don't have any vitamin B3. If we're living on chicken from Chick-fil-A, which unfortunately lots of kids do in this country, right?
They're in the school lunches.
I hear Yeah, I hear so many parents saying, well, Mike, you know, he eats chicken nuggets and mac and cheese. That's what he eats. That's what he's willing to eat, or PB&J or whatever. Well, how many of those sandwiches do you have to feed a kid to get them enough vitamin B3 if I've got to feed you 300 plus, right? Yeah. So we really have this compounded challenge of nutrient deficiency in our food, higher levels of stress on the body because of the toxicity that we're experiencing, which then require more nutrients, not less, to combat that. And of course, the slow poisoning that we're experiencing at the same time. I think what I would like to do, because this all sounds so dire, is leave our listeners with something that is much more hopeful and harken back to when you mentioned your the situation with your child's in and that 6-week test that essentially you ran, right? Okay, we find out he's got glyphosate levels that are unbelievably high. So what do? We take it out, take the sugar out, start repairing things, start nourishing the body. And it didn't take 6 years. It took 6 weeks to see massive improvements.
Can I share one more story that's hopeful?
Yes, please.
So around this whole issue with the food supply, I like to share the story as well. There's a mom that called me. This was a couple years ago, but I'll tell it in the present tense, right? So she called me. She calls me and she says, I'm calling you because I want you to know how important it is that you keep doing what you're doing and share with the world, you know, about what's going on with the food supply. And she wanted to remain anonymous. She said, you'll see why. And this is because the story was that her son, when he was 9 years old, he had mental health issues. And she said she told the school and they ignored her until one day they called her and said, you need to come pick up your son because he just threatened to blow up the school with a bomb and kill everyone in it. And she said, well, I told you he has mental health issues. And they said, well, you know, okay. And she's like, we need help. And they said, okay, we'll send him to a psychiatrist. So they sent him to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist assessed him and said, here is your SSRI, you know, antidepressant drug. And she's like, that's it? Isn't there anything else we can do? And the psychiatrist actually said, well, it's either that or you think about the food you're feeding him. What are you feeding him? And she said, well, you know, pizza, hot dogs, quesadillas, you know, Hot Pockets, whatever, you know, like whatever he'll eat, macaroni and cheese, chicken nuggets, you know, that kind of thing. Standard American diet. And he said, well, have you thought about the preservatives and the food dyes and the pesticides and the GMOs and the chemicals in that food? And she said, no, I haven't. He said, well, it's either you feed him organic or you give him this drug for the rest of his life. So this single mom of 4 kids, low income in Santa Ana, went all organic with rice and beans and, you know, little salsa like that. You can have a very nutritious meal with rice and beans. And within 2 weeks, the school principal called her and said, we don't know what you're doing, but this is a completely new human being. Keep doing what you're doing. And she said, and I'm calling you because he's now 17. And I know that he would have been one of those kids that could go out to Walmart or wherever and buy a gun and shoot the kids at his school. He would have been one of those kids. And that's a very hard thing for a mother to admit. And she said, but he's not. He's happy. He's healthy. He's working on community gardens. He is a completely responsible and productive human being. And I was like, you know what you did? You gave this child a new future. That was not the future he was going to have, right? You gave him a new future. Yeah. And you created a new future for everybody at that school and in your community because they're now not suffering the loss of trauma of their loved ones. And I would venture to say you even created a new future for our country because who knows what those children, all of them, not just and your son, will do in life. They could run for office. They could invent a new service, invent a new product. They could change the world. You know, look at the inventors of just Facebook or Google or Tesla or whatever, you know what I mean? So I said, so this is why we're doing what we do at Moms Across America, because we want our children and the human population to be able to live up to their fullest potential, to have beautiful relationships, to contribute to the world, to be happy and healthy and whole. And that's why it's so important, I believe, that we continue to expose what's going on in the food supply, because if you don't know better, you can't do better, right? If you don't know what's going on, that's why the testing for the fast food, a lot of people said, oh, Zen, fast food's junk. We all know that. It's not going to make a difference. But hello, it has made a difference. There have been thousands of 500,000, I last checked on the last post on TikTok we did, of people saying, I knew fast food was bad, but I didn't know it was this bad. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop eating it. I'm not going to let my kids eat Chick-fil-A anymore. You know, I'm not going to have them go to whatever. Now, we didn't call for a boycott. I want to be very clear about that. All we did
was test and put the information out. And it's up to these companies on what they do with this information. Unfortunately, Chick-fil-A just recently issued an announcement saying, we're going to take that claim off of our marketing, no antibiotics ever. Because of, I believe, because of our test results, we just showed they have antibiotics in their food and hormones. And and so now they're backtracking and they're saying, well, it's because there's a low shortage supply because of, you know, all the sickness. There's so many bird flus and, you know, all that. And we've, you know, like 60 million chickens had to be killed 1 year recently because of, but you know why they have all these bird flus and different sicknesses? Because glyphosate is sprayed on the grains and it's weakening their immune systems, right? It's killing off the beneficial gut bacteria and allowing for the proliferation of the pathogenic gut bacteria. In the chickens, that equals more bacteria, more viruses, more like MRSA type, you know, things that can't be killed by antibiotics, higher levels of antibiotics, sicker and sicker chickens. And then we consume them, we get higher UTIs because that's the E. coli or Salmonella, one of those. And and so anyway, I know we wanted to stay hopeful, but what this means that is that the American public saying we're not going to eat that does make a difference. Right. That's where we want to go. And when children do that, they have new futures.
Well, and I've seen a shift, and I know you have too, Zen, because you've got your nose to this even more than I do. But there was a time not that long ago, you mentioned that in your bio that you were successfully petitioned Costco to stop selling Roundup. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, I hadn't noticed that over the last few years going into Costco, I don't see the giant end cap of Roundup every spring like I used to, which is fantastic.
Yes.
Congratulations and thank you. But also, I've read the studies articles that indicate the shift in how much organic food used to be in Costco versus how much organic food is currently in Costco. You can't go into Costco and not find in most categories an organic option, right?
It's
in,
fantastic.
Whether it's pasta or oils or fruit. It's incredible.
Yeah, when we
and that's
started,
only because of money. We're giving them money for that stuff. They're bringing more of it in.
Yeah.
Our change lowers the price, increases availability, and that is hopeful.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
And because if we don't buy it, they can't sell it. And if we do buy it, they will sell more of it. So you, the
exactly.
people, we, the people have the power. We need to make the choices with our purchasing power. And also we need to, I have to get political here. We have to elect politicians who are not bought and paid for by big pharma, big ag, and big oil. We need to double check where they're getting their money from, no matter what party you're a part of. I would assert, you know, there's really no party but the We the People party. Like we the people
right.
have to, and that's just a general phrase right now. I'm not allowed to get political, but it's just a general phrase that we need to put people in office that are not getting funding from big pharma, big ag, or big oil, or actually big tech either, and who are making decisions based on what's best for the health and safety of Americans, not what's best for the pocketbooks of the corporations. So please,
100%.
Yeah, please be aware of the power that you have with your purchasing dollar and with your vote.
The biggest vote we have really is with our dollar, and I think that's where it starts. And that's something that we get to do every day, not just every 4 years, you know, in November or whatever. And yes, if please recognize that party affiliation means nothing when it comes to where people are getting their money from.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't care what side you think you're on in the political spectrum. It's happening in all the different corners. So we have to be cautious of that. Obviously, you've got a lot to do, Zen. You're doing incredible work. So I'm going to let you go here. But I do want to mention to people listening, the book is called Unstoppable, Transforming Sickness and Struggle into Triumph, Empowerment, and Celebration of Community. It's available at momsacrossamerica.com. We also will be linking to the glyphosate testing page on your website. We're going to be linking to the fast food testing page on your website and the school lunch testing page. So we've got all of that. You're available everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Rumble, YouTube, all over the place, literally all across America and the world. And we're going to link to all of those in the show description as well. The last thing I'll ask you, and then I'll let you go, people listening that are intrigued by what you're saying that would like to get involved and help, how can that be done?
Well, we'd love for you to go to momsacrossamerica.com or .org. We have both URLs, and sign up for our newsletter and click on the link when we send out a link on Mondays for our Moms Connect calls at 7 p.m. Eastern time. That's the Moms Connect calls. Those calls are for mothers and others who want to create healthy communities. We supply actions and solutions to create healthy communities. We have experts on. Sometimes I just talk about the news. Sometimes we just discuss things. Sometimes other people come on and share things that we never expected, and we all learn from each other. It's a discussion, not a show. And we appreciate people who can join with us. You can also donate at momsacrossamerica.org if you want to see more testing. We're currently testing gluten-free food and baby formula and Girl Scout cookies. So stay tuned for those results. Sign up for our newsletter to find out what we have found in those foods. And we want to test more. As I mentioned, we want to test fertilizers, and we want to get to the source of where the contamination is coming from in our food supply, so that we can transform the food supply and health in America and beyond. And we deeply appreciate your support and partnership. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for me and for my listeners. I know many people listening to this show are going to feel hopefully not too much of the dire nature of what's currently going on, but the hope that we can shift and are shifting the picture, because that's really what's happening. You kind of have to hit rock bottom sometimes before you come back up. I do believe the food supply is pretty close to rock bottom at the moment, and it is coming back up. There's a lot more options available out there. There's more access available. Remember your small local farmer. That's a great place to start, and your own backyard. Thank you again, Zen, for joining us on Vitality Radio, and thank you for listening to the show. If you have questions about anything you've heard, please call us 801-292-6662. That's 801-292-6662, or jump on to vitalitynutrition.com, and we'll be happy to help you there. I am Jared St. Clair, and this is Vitality Radio. It's that time of year. It's time for our annual Men's Vitality Sale at vitalitynutrition.com. This is an online-only sale for you. We've got well over 120 products that are not just for men, but are very popular among men. Of course, some of them, like the Prost T formula, one of my very favorite men's formulas, is just for men, but there are plenty of other products like Total Body Collagen that's good for the whole family, and a variety of other things in a wide range of products here at Vitality Nutrition. Again, focused on men, but you might find out if you're a woman or shopping for your kids that there may just be some things in there for you as well. In fact, one of the few times that we put a price break on some of the Just Ingredients products, including their protein and pre-workout, is during this sale. This sale is going to run through the 23rd of May, and it's already started. It is, there's a collection that we'll link to in the show description here on this episode of the podcast, but you can also go to the website and just click on the banner. That will bring you to the Men's Vitality Sale collection, and everything that's in there is already marked down. No need for a promo code. It's all discounted already. Many of the items are at the lowest discount that we ever offer for this sale. So I urge you to check it out and see what you think at vitalitynutrition.com.
You've been listening to the Vitality Radio Podcast. Enjoy your week. In the meantime, Jared will be feverishly searching for the latest nutrition info to educate you on and wading into mounds of propaganda to help steer you through it. Vitality Radio is researched and written by Jared St. Clair. Our awesome music is by Brian Bob Young. Support Vitality Radio by subscribing and giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or your favorite podcast source. Don't forget to follow us at Vitality Radio on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Please let us know your thoughts about this episode by using the hashtag Vitality Radio Podcast. And if you like what you hear, go tell somebody with a share, a screenshot, or an airdrop. Thank you.